I'm in this preaching series entitled Who Not to Be. I want to read verse 16 again in your hearing. Chapter 6, 2 Samuel. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. I want to preach today, as you pray for and with me, how not to be a killjoy. Lord, bless your word. Bless your preacher. Give us ears to hear. We thank you for your goodness towards us. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. How not to be a killjoy. Throughout Scripture, the Bible calls us to live in community. As people of God, we are not called to be individualistic. We're not called to participate in a survival of the fittest mentality. We're not called to look out merely for ourselves. But as people of God, we are called to live in community one with another. We're not called to be lone rangers, nor are we called to be mavericks or independent contractors. But as people of God, we are called to live in community with each other. If my brother or sister is in trouble, then I'm in trouble. If my brother or sister is blessed, then I am blessed. If my brother or sister is struggling, then I'm struggling. If my brother or sister is sitting on top of the world, then I'm sitting on top of the world with my brother or my sister. If my brother or sister is going through, then I am going through. We are each other's brothers, sisters, and keepers. You were born into the world by yourself, but when you become part of the body of Christ called church and the kingdom of God, we become responsible to each other. And we are brothers and sisters one to another. If my brother or sister is celebrating, then I ought to celebrate what they are celebrating. We are called to live in community with each other. Can I preach this? While we are called to live in community with each other, everyone does not always comprehend, digest, or embrace the call to live in community, interdependently, and in fellowship one with another. While we are the body of Christ, there are some people who think they don't need a body. While we are called to live interdependent with each other, there are some people who have made up their mind they don't need anybody other than Jesus. While we're called to live in fellowship one with another as brothers and sisters saved by the same Jesus, filled with the same Holy Ghost, calling God our Heavenly Father. There are some folk who don't think they need anybody, as if they are the exception to every rule. According to this Old Testament text, we're introduced to a woman who has yet to comprehend, digest, or embrace the ethic of living together in fellowship. According to this text, David, her husband, the king and leader of Israel, has brought back the Ark of the Covenant. For those of us who know the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was one of the most significant, precious artifacts in the history of the Old Testament. The Ark of the Covenant was in Philistine possession, but David, as a mighty man of God, is bringing back the Ark of the Covenant to the holy city of Jerusalem. As David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, Watch Chapel, the people of God, David leading the way, are excited, enthusiastic about the Ark of the Covenant being back on holy ground in holy territory. As the people of God celebrate, David is leading the way as the chief worship leader because the Ark of the Covenant is back in Jerusalem. David is not worshiping by himself, Watch Chapel, but the people of God have come from Dan to Beersheba to celebrate the return of the Ark of the Covenant. The Levites are singing. The choir is lifting holy hands. The people are dancing in the streets. And David is leading the way, dancing in the streets of Jerusalem because of what God has done. Nothing like a worship experience where everybody is participating in the worship celebration. And worship ought not just be confined to the Lord's Day on Sunday morning. Can I preach this? When you think about how good God has done and what God has done in your life, what God is doing in your life, and by faith what God is going to do, you can worship and celebrate what God has done, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Don't worry about who's looking. Don't worry about what they're going to say about you. They don't know where God has brought you from. They don't know what God has done for you. And they don't know where God is going to take you. Do I have anybody who ain't ashamed to praise God wherever you are? Can I preach this? I said wherever you are. I ain't talking about just Sunday morning praises. I'm talking about anybody unashamed enough to praise God on Saturday, when you're watching the game on Friday night, when you think about where you used to be and what God brought you out of. The people of God are praising God for what God has done. And David is leading the way. As David is leading the way, celebrating, rejoicing that the Ark of the Covenant is back in Jerusalem, a woman who is close to him, not his daughter, not his sister, but his boo, his bae, ain't celebrating what God is doing. But sister girl ain't even in worship on that Sunday. Ain't even in the midst of the celebration, but is looking out. Seeing her man, y'all ain't talking to me, leading the praise celebration because of what God has done. And tragically, McCall, who should be worshiping, praising, celebrating, has become a killjoy. Can I preach this? Despite what God has done, despite what she has witnessed, despite the recovery of the Ark of the Covenant, despite what God was going to do, McCall was not enthusiastic, celebratory, praising, worshiping, but McCall sitting there, hands on her hips, looking like she sucked on lemons, is a killjoy when she ought to be praising. Can I preach this? I feel my help coming on this Sunday morning, because the last person in the world we as Christians ought to be is Mr. or Mrs. Killjoy. God is doing great things all around you, but you sucking your teeth. God has done wonders, opened doors, made ways, but you mad at the doggone world. God has blessed your spouse. God has blessed your kids, blessed your grandkids, blessed your mama, blessed your daddy, blessed your friends, been a blessing to people around you. But here you are in church on Sunday morning, arms folded, lips pursed, sucking your teeth. Everybody's praising except Mr. or Mrs. Killjoy. Mean mugging, upset, mad. God has been good, but there's always somebody. Who can't be a part of the praise party. And on this Sunday morning, help me do my good preaching. Watch, tap, will pray for me, Holy Ghost. I don't want to be Mr. or Mrs. Killjoy. Jesus walked on water. But there's always somebody who's saying, well, if he were really good, he wouldn't just walk, he would levitate. 4.0 GPA. Magna cum laude, valedictorian, salutatorian. That's good, but. Full scholarship. You only got it to one school. Can I preach this? Because all of us know Mr. and Mrs. Killjoy. All of us know somebody who can't be happy for other people. All of us know somebody who can't celebrate what God is doing for other people. All of us know somebody, despite how great things can be, they're going to point out that one or two things about you that you know are already a struggle in your life. Why can't you just be happy? Folk may tolerate you. They may smile at you. They may invite you to the graduation celebration. They may invite you to the wedding, not the reception. May invite you to the family gathering, but you wonder why you're sitting by yourself. You wonder why people give you the polite hug and then keep it moving. You wonder why nobody calls you for a second, third, or fourth date. How do I avoid being McCall, Mrs. Killjoy? I avoid being McCall because I push past my past. If you read this text, McCall, Watch Chapel, is not identified as David's wife. Wait, she's identified as the daughter of Saul. Her daddy died in 1 Samuel 31. This is 2 Samuel 6. Her daddy has been dead. But McCall's attitude, disposition, temperament is based upon what happened in 1 Samuel. She has never matured, never gotten beyond being her daddy's daughter who was carnal instead of embracing her identity as David's wife. David is a praiser. David is a worshiper. David is a man after God's own heart. But despite them being married, you better be careful who you marry. You better be careful. Y'all ain't talking to me in here. I ain't just talking about him being fine, her having an hourglass. You better marry somebody who praises God, who knows how to pray, who makes their way in church on Sunday morning, who doesn't mind lifting holy hands. Y'all ain't talking to me. They can shout over the Knicks. They can shout over Denver, but can they praise God in worship? Ain't nobody talking to me right now. They can praise God for something material, but can they praise God for something spiritual? They can pray. Y'all ain't talking to me. They can praise God when you say yes, but can they praise God on Sunday morning and press their way to the house of God? McCall has yet to push past her past. And tragically, some of us right now are in April 28th, 2024, but psychologically, mentally, we are in 1999. We in 2010. We in 1975. We on the campus of Howard University. We on the campus of Chapel Hill. We on the campus of the great school by the sea. We somewhere else, but we are still stuck and haven't moved past the past. Maybe that's why we got a problem praising God for what God is doing for you, you and you, because we are stuck in yesteryear. Let me help somebody. Today is the present tense. Learn from the past, but don't live in the past. Can I preach this? Learn from it. Cry. Can I bless somebody right now? Somebody needs to have a good cry right now. It didn't work out, but I still got life. I ain't married to him or her, but I still got life. I'm crying my tears. Amen, somebody. I'm going to pick myself up, dust my shoulder off. But by gosh, be God, I ain't going to be a prisoner of my past. Today is a new day. Let me preach it the way the Holy Ghost. So this is the day the Lord has made. I said, this is the day the Lord has made. If God has given you life, you better live in the now. If you got breath in your body, you better live in the now. If you can walk, talk, breathe, live, you better live in the now. Learn from the past, but don't stay there. If I'm not going to be a killjoy, I got to push past my past. If I'm going to avoid being a killjoy, not only do I have to push past my past, I have to learn to be a positive participant. Notice where McCall is versus where everybody else is. Everybody else is dancing in the streets. Praising God. There is a sanctified praise party on the streets of Jerusalem. David, the mighty man of God, has brought back the Ark of the Covenant to the holy city of Jerusalem. The people of God have come from far and near to celebrate what God has done and what God is doing. La-di-da-di, and everybody are there celebrating. Everybody's praising God except for a woman named McCall. While everybody is praising, celebrating, enthusiastic about what God is doing, McCall is at home. And the text says she's looking out the window. could be there, should be there, but McCall has refused to be a positive participant. Sometimes, watch, chapel, we avoid becoming killjoys through our positive participation. What if McCall had come out of her house? What if McCall had decided, I'm going to make my way to worship? What if McCall had decided, I'm going to revival on Wednesday night? What if McCall had decided, I ain't going to miss church no more. We through the pandemic. I got all my shots. What if McCall had decided, I'm going to lift up the blinds, let the sun shine in, and not act like I've been sucking on lemons? Sometimes what we need, what I need, is to be around other praisers, other positive, upbeat, sanctified, spiritual people, because God has a way of sharpening us through our participation and the presence of other people who are positive. You can't be negative Nelly in the midst of positivity. You can't be Debbie Downer when everybody else is looking up. But if you stay all by yourself, can I preach this? I'm trying to challenge somebody to come out of yourself. If you make up your mind, I ain't going to that church. That church ain't right. Asking for $20 for Shaw St. Hog. Now asking for $20 a month to feed some folk and give water to some folk. Ain't nothing right about the church. Ain't nothing right about my job. Ain't nothing right about nothing. Where sometimes all we need to do is be around some different energy, some different people. Can I preach this? I'm preaching this to the real folk right now. Anybody ever come to church in a funk? But then the choir started singing. Somebody shook your hand. The worshipers started worshiping. Can I preach this to the real people? You made up your mind, I ain't praising God today. I ain't worshiping. I'm just going to church because I need to go to church. But you got to the parking lot, amen. Somebody greeted you with a smile. The hospitality ministry was on board. The choir started singing the praise theme, started lifting holy hands. The band started doing their thing. We had a Hosanna chat. Somebody sang hallelujah, praise be to God in the highest. P-Dub was doing his good preaching, and you came in one way. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of you. And then you went from negativity to positivity. You went from hating to smiling. You went from being down to being lifted, because positive participation makes a difference. And all I'm trying to do is tell somebody, when you come to worship, be a positive participant. I dare you to lift holy hands. I dare you to sing when the praise team sings. I dare you to smile. I dare you to worship. I dare you to give hold somebody a high five, because somebody discovers God will show up when you praise God. Can I have preached this in here? It ain't Bible, but to somebody, it is true. When praises go up, blessings do. And the blessing ain't material. Sometimes God will just change your mind. God will change your, it ain't that bad. She ain't that bad. He ain't that bad. My life ain't that bad. I got it kind of good. Then you start to count your blessings. I woke up this morning. I got shoes on my feet. I got clean water. I got more than one outfit to wear. I got gas in the car. The mortgage is paid. Duke Energy is paid. Ain't had no drama. Ain't had no mess. Ain't had no confusion. I guess I got a pretty good life. I got healed. I've been delivered. Can I preach this to somebody? I dare you to. I avoid being a killjoy. My positive participation. I avoid being a killjoy when I push past my past. But I avoid being a killjoy when I praise God for possibilities. The Ark of the Covenant is back in Jerusalem. And if you go home and read verses 10 through 12, the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of a man by the name of Obed-Edom. And while the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Obed-Edom, Obed-Edom's house was blessed. Obed-Edom was blessed. His wife and kids were blessed. And everything around the Ark of the Covenant was blessed, because the Ark of the Covenant represented the power and presence of Almighty God. And that same Ark of the Covenant that was lost is now back in Jerusalem. And maybe that's why David is praising God. Because David is praising God, not just that got it back, but David is praising God for possibilities. And watch, Chapel, I'm trying to tell somebody right now, we avoid being killjoys when you not just thank God for what he's done, but when you learn to praise God for possibilities. It's one thing to praise God, thank God for what he's done, but I'm challenging somebody right now to praise God for possibilities. The same God is still alive. The same God is still well. And you want to praise God for possibilities. You got life in your limbs. You got breath in your body. God sits high and looks low. There are possibilities all around you. And you ought to praise God for possibilities. Do I have anybody here who ain't just thanking God for what he's done, but you're praising God for the possibilities? The possibility of a new job. The possibility of breakthrough. The possibility of a sane house. The possibility of promotion. The possibility of breakthrough. The possibility of deliverance. It hadn't happened yet, but you ought to praise God for what he's gonna do. Do I have a witness in here? Anybody excited about tomorrow? It hadn't happened yet, but I'm praising God for what he's gonna do. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man what God hath prepared for those who love him. You better get ready. Get your clothes out. Get your tux out. Do your nails. Do your feet. Get your black hat. Get your black dress. And praise God for what God's gonna do. You're gonna graduate. You're gonna buy the house. Your family's gonna be blessed. You're gonna be healed. Praise God for the possibilities. Go on and thank God for what he's gonna do. Thank God for where he's taking you. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him. Praise him like he's good. Praise him like he's faithful. Praise him like he's a miracle worker. Praise him like he's a way maker. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Let the brothers praise him. Let the sisters praise him. Let the Generation X praise him. Let the boomers praise him. Let everything. Don't just thank him for what he's done. You praise him for possibilities. God ain't through with you yet. You ain't too old. You ain't too far gone. Let me help somebody. You don't. You don't need to be a killjoy. You don't need to be that person, that man, that woman. Why they got to make all that noise? It don't take all that. All that screaming, he's sweating up there. That ain't the person you want to be. My sister, my brother, I'm inviting somebody to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're here today, but you're not saved. You may be here, but you don't have a church home. I'm inviting you, my brother or sister, to accept Jesus Christ, to unite with Watch Chapel, because you need a church home. You're not here by accident. Somebody invited you, but the Holy Ghost led you here. Somebody needed to hear this word. And somebody needs a Savior. Somebody needs a church home. My sister, my brother, I want you to come from wherever you are to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Somebody needs a church home. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Wherever you are. You may be watching us virtually and you need a church home. You can join Watch Chapel as a digital disciple. Regardless of where you are, we receive you, sister. We receive you, brother. You're here. Walk down the aisle from wherever you are. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm saved, but I need a church home. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Wherever you are, come on down. Watch step. I want you to ask your neighbor to your right or to your left. Do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? Do you want to unite with Watch Chapel as a member? Smile, that same smile you had 20 minutes ago. Pick it back up. Amen. Pick it back up. Don't let it go. Ask somebody to your right or to your left, in front of you, behind you. Push past your past. Be a positive participant. Praise God for possibilities. Lord, I pray right now for Watch Chapel. I pray for every man and woman who's in this worship celebration, everyone who watched and who will watch virtually. Challenge us not to be McCall, killjoys. Work in us, work on us, work through us. So we don't become that person. May the grace of our Lord and Savior, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us until we shall meet again. The people of God said amen. Amen. Amen.
God is worthy. Come on. Hey. Come on. Worthy.